The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We've been talking about the game of life, how important the game of life is. Just about everyone in here, I'm sure, has played this game of life, and you're playing the game of life right now, as we all are. Sometimes it doesn't seem like much of a game, does it? It gets pretty serious. It gets difficult, but we're all in it. We're in the game, and the reality is, Jesus said that in John 10:10 that he came to give us life and give us life more abundantly, overflowing, more than enough, everything that we can ask for and need. He has given it to us. That does not mean that we will not have problems and issues and situations to have to deal with. Does not mean that we will not encounter sickness and disease in our life. However, it does mean that Jesus promised that we can be overcomers. Does not mean that you will not encounter financial difficulties from time to time. It does mean that Jesus has promised that he's going to be our supplier, our provider, that our Heavenly Father is there for us. So it does mean that no matter what we encounter in life, that we are going to have the abundance necessary to deal with it. Sometimes it's painful, but we still have the abundance to deal with it. How many feel like life is painful? Okay. Probably everyone in here. That's, at one time or another, you've had the pain of life. Because that's just the way it is. However, there is going to be a time when Jesus Christ returns that there isn't going to be any of that pain anymore. That's a great expectation. That's our hope in glory. That's what the only reason that we should be able to go on day after day is to know that there is coming a time that Jesus is going to reign on this earth and we're going to be with him and everything is going to be perfect just the way he planned it from in the beginning. But today we do not live there. However, Jesus did say this. He said that in John, let me get to scripture here real quick. Make sure I don't quote the wrong one. John 7:38. Jesus said that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of sweet, wonderful, potable water, something that you can drink of, and it will satisfy not only your thirst, but other people's thirst. And sometimes we forget about that part of it, that Jesus didn't just come to satisfy your thirst and my thirst. You know, I'm pretty much a loner. I like being alone. I like doing things alone. I like working alone. I'm just a loner. Why God put a loner in a position that I'm in, I don't know. But he did, because he wants to break me out of that mold. I know that's what it is. That's me. That's not what God wants for me. However, if I'm not careful, I begin to think about life in a very selfish way, about me and mine. You know, I start thinking about taking care of us and doing what we need to do and providing for us and forget about the importance of what God has called me to and called every believer to, and that is to share that living water with other people so that we can quench the thirst. Wherever we go, people's thirst can be quenched. This is extremely important for us as believers in Jesus Christ to catch hold of the reality. How many have ever really been thirsty? I doubt if anybody's been dying of thirst in here. But something I do need to share with you is that they're talking about the water supply of the world is contaminated. It's being contaminated and the reality is there's lots of droughts going on. Things are drying up. You know, we're living in difficult times in this world. Thank God we have a provider. And he's promised us, we may, you know, no matter what is happening in the reality realm, in the realm of the physical, what happens in the spiritual is what's really important to us. So I'm looking for God to be my thirst quencher and yours. And you are too. You're looking for God to make those provisions for you, no matter what's going on. So, you know, we've been thirsty in the past. And sometimes I will go sometimes all day long without drinking water or drinking anything. I mean, I just get to working and doing and forget about, and I don't get that thirsty, so I just don't think about it too much. But I pay the price for it. Because when I don't drink enough water, I start having cramps. My muscles just cramp up. And my kids used to make fun of me. They thought it was funny. I'd be laying on the couch and all of a sudden, and I'd roll on the floor. And, you know, the kids thought it was, you know, that was entertainment around our house. But, the thing is that if we don't have that source, and we do not have the abundance of it in our, you know, in the physical realm. If we're not drinking enough water, you can pay the price. I was talking to a doctor the other day, and we were just talking. I was asking him about joints and movement and everything. And we play basketball together, and I asked him about certain herbs and stuff, if those supplements help. And he said, oh, yeah, they help. But he said one of the biggest things is people don't hydrate themselves enough. Drinking enough water will lubricate your joints and make your joints work smoother. So, you know, I learned a very valuable lesson. Regardless of what other people have been telling me, now a doctor told me that's what I needed to do. So I take notice. Important. It's important to our body. The living water is important to the body of Christ. It needs to be flowing out. If we're not careful, we'll let this well inside of us dry up. I'm guilty from time to time, letting the well of living water begin to dry up. It gets stuff in it. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look with me in Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26, it says, verse 1, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I gave all this land. And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. First of all, let's look at what is taking place here. There's a famine in the land. That means there's a drought going on. Things are drying up. There's all the pools of water are drying up. There's not enough to sustain all the animals and the people in the area. So what is happening here, Isaac is taking, he was contemplating. He was thinking about going to Egypt. Now remember, his father Abraham went down to Egypt. He got himself in a little bit of trouble while he was down there. But he went down to Egypt because there was a drought. God specifically spoke to Isaac and said, do not go to Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. Now listen, God is saying to us, to every one of us, be careful who you are putting your trust in. See, Egypt represented a place of comfort and plenty for Isaac. And if we're not careful, we'll get our eyes off from the living God who is our provider, and we'll begin to get our eyes on everything else that might looks like it might be our provider. It might be a job. It might be an extra a source of income. It might be another place to live. I don't know. It can be just about anything. It might be a relationship, a person that you're putting your trust in rather than putting it in the living God. I'm telling you, God is warning his people, do not trust in the things of this world. Trust in me. He was speaking to Isaac, and he was specifically saying, don't trust in this. However, Isaac still dwelt too close to somebody, and that was Abimelech, the king. He started dwelling just right outside of his city and his area. And he started dwelling and putting his trust in Abimelech. And it's a place that we can all get. We might hear from God and not go off on the to the right, but sometimes we get a little too far to the left. And we're getting in that area where we're not supposed to be, where we're not hearing, we're not recognizing that God is the one that has the living water for us. If we, as believers in Jesus Christ, if we're going to win this game of life, we must trust the living God. And I don't mean you just trust him for a few things or whatever you think you have enough faith to trust him. You have to trust him for everything. Yes, sir. That's right. Listen to me. If you can't trust God with your finances, if you can't be a tither and give according to the word of God, how are you going to trust him when cancer comes? How are you going to trust him when financial ruin seems to be knocking at the door? How are you going to trust him when your marriage looks like it's going to fall apart? You see, there is this thing we call faith. It does take baby steps sometimes. Now, first of all, you got to put your trust in those small things. Maybe finance doesn't seem like a small thing to you, but it is compared to a lot of things we go through. Put your trust in those small things. Because that's where the living water is. That's where the freshness comes from. That's where you overcome the temptation to trust in anything and everything else is by stepping forward, step by step, those baby steps of trusting in the living God. And it begins there. It begins in putting your faith in Jesus Christ to begin with and trusting him. And then from there, we move on to bigger and better things. Dwell in the land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all this land, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. Listen to God. He will perform the oath that he has sworn to us. It seems like sometimes that he's not going to. How many have ever been there where you felt like God just... Where, God, you promised me something. Where are you? Think about Abraham. All those years, God promised him a son. In all those years, he waited and waited and waited. What did he do? He made a big mistake too. And if you're not careful, you will do exactly what Abraham did. You will get an Isaac or an Ishmael in your life. He wanted an Isaac and he got an Ishmael. Eventually got an Isaac. But Ishmael has created all kinds of problems. He created problems for Abraham, and he's still creating problems today in the earth, right now. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give to you descendants all these lands, and your seed, all the nation of the earth, shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked about his wife. Now, here's something. He made the same mistake his father made. He lied to them and said, this is not my wife. This is my sister. See, here's something that we can pick up from this, that we do learn from our parents, and sometimes there's genetic things inside of us that we just follow the same pattern that our parents laid down for us. That's where there are curses that come up in family lines, generation after generation after generation, that we don't even realize is being handed down. Those things can be broken in an individual's life, and they need to be broken in every person's life. We have these things. Now, it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw, and there was Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah, his wife. So he came to the conclusion, hey, wait a minute, this is more than a sister. I can tell by the way they're embracing each other. There's something going on here. And the king became upset. Now, here's what I want you to understand in this. God's hand was in it all the way through. Even though Isaac had made a mistake, even though you've made some mistakes in your life, even though you've made the wrong decisions from time to time, and you've said things or done things that are not necessarily good or right, God's hand is still with you and in your situation. He promises that he's never going to leave you or forsake you. He's with you today. And he wants those wells of living water to flow inside of you once again. He wants it to flow out of you. As we read the rest of this story, we continue. We find out that Isaac had been living next to the city, close to Abimelech, and he was neglecting something that his father had handed down to him, something that his forefathers had handed down. And that was the wells in the land. There was wells all over the land, and Abraham had walked around, and he had dug those wells. They were sweet wells, good wells. They provided lots of water for the people of that time in that area. And Abraham was one that would share his water with everyone. But because they had enemies, let's read this. After he got this mess cleaned up with Abimelech, Abimelech said, listen, you brought me trouble. Get out of here. I don't want you out of here anymore. I don't want you in here anymore. Now, in reality, I believe this was God's hand moving Isaac away from a comfortable position, a comfortable place. And God does that to us because he loves us. He has our steps ordered. Everyone's steps are ordered. Listen to him. And sometimes it feels very uncomfortable when he's moving you from one place to another. I'm sure that although God is making a provision for Dot Norman, knowing Dot Norman, her new position is very uncomfortable for her. That's a tough place. She's the new postmaster in Pomeroy, and she's taking on more responsibility, but it's uncomfortable. And if I know Dot, she would rather not be in that uncomfortable position. But she's going to move forward. She's going to do it. God is opening the door for her. God is opening doors for you in your life. Sometimes it looks like he's shutting the door, when reality is he'll open a new door for you. Shutting the old one and opening a new one. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. God showed his hand in Isaac's life. He promised. He showed Isaac exactly what was going on, that my hand is upon you. How did he do that? Because he showed him by blessing his harvest, his planting, in a time of a famine. And he reaped 100-fold. I think if we can hold on through our situation and we can trust God, we will reap 100-fold. Amen? It's God's desire for that to happen. And he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds, and great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him. He had enemies. We all have enemies. The biggest enemy we have, and the one that wants to steal from you, to kill, steal, and destroy you, John 10:10 also, is Satan himself, the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air of this world. And he wants to stop up those wells that God has dug inside of you, that well of living water that should be flowing out. And if he gets the chance, he'll stop you up. He'll put junk in. A few years ago, I don't know if I, whether it was, I think maybe our drama team does a skit where they have they show that they have a living well, and it's Christ, and people just keep coming along and pouring junk down in that well. Is that right? They're on their way to the dump with their stuff, and instead of going to the dump, they find this well, and the person is saying, "Yeah, just dump it in here." And what happens to that well? They through that drama, they show that the water becomes bitter and nasty. That happens to us in life. Stuff gets dumped on us. Stuff gets dumped in us, and sometimes we open the door for stuff to come in. We just invite it in. Come on, dump it in my well. And what happens? Our well gets bitter. These wells were so full. Isaac's wells by the Philistines was stopped up. And here's what God commanded for Isaac to do in this situation. He commanded him to go back out and re-dig those wells. Re-dig the wells in his life. God is speaking to his people this morning to redig the wells in our life. I believe he wants us to dig back, get that stuff out. Whatever the junk is, whether somebody's put it there or you've allowed it in. By watching things you shouldn't, listening to things, doing things, being involved with something you shouldn't, that's filling up your well with nasty stuff. God's speaking to his people to stir it up, get it out, throw it out, because there's pure, good water down inside there. There's good stuff inside of you. God wants it to flow out of you this morning. He wants you to receive from him. Stand with me. This hasn't been a long message. In fact, this was not even the message that I felt like that I prepared, but it was what God spoke to me. So if it seemed like I wasn't very well prepared to share these things with you, this was just what God was laying on my heart. Because I feel like as his people, we've got to make sure that we have this living water flowing out of us. We can't let the things and the of this world and life in general to fill us up with all the nasty stuff that makes our well bitter. I have living water in me. You have living water in you. It's alive. It has life in it. That means that it's more than just life sustaining. It's life giving. It will give life to others. The kind of life that they've been looking for all their life. Life that will raise them up. Life that will cause them to receive everything that God has for them. You know, today it's a new beginning. It's an evangelistic outreach. But I'm really sensing that what God is saying to us this morning is that there's just people here that need to say, God, cleanse my well. Get it cleaned up. I'm willing. I'm willing to receive. Just clean me up, because I want that living water to flow out of me. I want to receive. I want to not only receive, but I want to give. The Word of God is quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that. It's alive. And there's more to it than just, you know, we think of it being, you know, it's alive in the sense that it'll speak to us. But there's much more to it than that. When we take it to heart, it gives life. It sustains life. It flows life. Bow your head with me. Hallelujah. Father God, I know that you have people in here this morning. They're your people. They're, They're people that have put their faith and their trust in you. And I just want them to be ministered to. So today, Father, we're just going to open this up for your people to be ministered to be touched. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited to be able to share this message with you. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about our ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at www.bethel.org. Have a blessed day.